It's the podcast where it all happens this week at Windsor. Welcome back, Dr. J.
Thank you, Arden Beach. Very excited. International Women's Day today.
Awesome.
Yeah, very special guest. Finally, the mayor is here.
The mayor. She's on her way.
Yeah, on her way in. Yep. Very excited.
The helicopter's about to land.
Yep. Lionel mowed a nice H in the middle of the oval. It's going to be great.
She is on the way. What's coming up at church in the coming weeks?
Well, coming up at church, we have Easter at WDBC. So that's coming up the end of this month. Easter's early this year, in case you didn't get the memo. We're very excited this year because on Good Friday, we're going to be participating in a combined church service with Strong Nation and with Vineyard. It's going to be 9:30 a.m. Good Friday in McQuaid Park in Windsor. So very excited. Invite everybody to come out to that. We are going to take communion together. They've invited me to preach, which I'm grateful for the opportunity to do that. And that'll be a great way to celebrate Good Friday. But before that, we want to encourage everyone to participate in Stations of the Cross. We're going to set that up again. You got a chance to do that last year.
Yeah, it's always amazing. And it always seems to touch a ton of people. Yeah, really. Because I think perhaps because there are all the different stations and they're all varied. I don't even know who puts it together, but they do such a good job of turning the journey into this sort of step-by-step process. And you feel different stuff as you go along the way. And so different people get touched at different points along the journey. And how many years have we been doing it? Couple?
I think this will be the third year that we're doing it. And there's a team of people involved, but I'd be remiss if I didn't say that my wife, Joanna, really has been an advocate and a spearhead and kind of the brainchild behind this. And so very grateful to her for her efforts in that. But yeah, it's, if you haven't had a chance to do it yet, I really encourage you to do it. A lot of people feel unsure if it's new for them. I just encourage you to give it a go. Some people think, oh, is this a Catholic thing? This is just something Christians have been doing. It's taking some time to reflect and follow in the steps that Jesus did on his way to the cross, and for us to pause and reflect and think about our Savior, which is a great to do, especially in preparation for Good Friday. So Good Friday service, 9:30 a.m. And the Saturday before, going back even further, on the 23rd of March is going to be Hymns Are Us. So lots of things happening at the end of the month before we get to Easter.
Awesome.
Do you have many memories of Easter growing up, Arden?
No.
No. Was there no tradition? No. Was there no, no, I mean, the big activity?
The normal kind of Easter egg hunts and stuff around the house.
Were they always chocolate for you?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
See, America, we did the hard-boiled things.
What?
Yes. Hard-boiled eggs, and then you had to dip them in dye.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it was pretty disgusting. Yeah, we used to paint them and stuff.
Okay.
But you still get the chocolate eggs to eat.
Mm. Yeah, it must be an Australian thing.
You're just walking around peeling hard-boiled eggs?
Absolutely. That's exactly what we're doing.
Okay.
Explains so much about my childhood.
Life on the prairie.
I'm sure we had chocolate somewhere, it got put in there, but I feel like here it's, you know, in America, chocolate is big on Valentine's Day. That's the big chocolate day in America. Although I feel like, you know, Easter's becoming a sweet holiday as well with peeps. You ever had any peeps?
I have. Oh, yes, I have. I was about to say I have not, but I did last year.
Yes. Yep. Marshmallow peeps. They're all the rage.
I think the Hoffman family brought some.
Mm. Yes, they're quite good. But yeah, Easter Sunday is going to be great here at WDBC, 9:30 a.m. We're going to follow that up with an Easter feast. So really excited and encourage everybody to come out to that. That's going to be here at the church. So you'll, again, be watching closely because this information is going to be coming fast and furious.
Good, good. Well, they don't really get much bigger than this.
No, they don't.
I mean, other than when we had Donald Trump on here that time and the Queen before she passed. God rest her soul.
I think that was your dream, Arden.
Mayor of the Hawkesbury, Sarah McMahon, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, and very happy to be here.
How did this happen? Who organized this?
Well, we got to tip our cap to Mariah, former producer. Welcome, Katie. Mariah suggested that we get in touch with you, and she's been in communication with your office, and we're just thrilled to have you. Thanks for coming on.
As I said, happy to be here. I am absolutely thrilled to sit down and have a chat.
Awesome. So what does it mean to be Mayor of the Hawkesbury? What's it like day to day?
It's an interesting role. It changes day to day and varies greatly. For example, this morning I went from hosting about 50 amazing women in the chambers for International Women's Day to dealing with a very big tragedy after that. So it really does vary. A lot of it is helping residents with their issues in terms of the famous word potholes and road issues or their neighbour issues or can this be mowed. A lot of those day-to-day things, a lot of planning things. So a lot of people have DAs in council. So they ask, you know, where is it up to? What's going on? So really you are the voice and the face of the council. And I think because anyone who puts their hand up to be a councillor is a local person. And that's the beauty of local government. It is grassroots. You come from this community, you grew up here. So people know and trust and respect you, so they feel they can come to you and get the answers they need.
Speaking of DAs, is the area must be growing. Like there's a ton of building and growth and stuff going on.
There's Redbank, which is the newer suburb. There's also another one on the way at Glossodia called Jacaranda. And the other growth area is Vineyard. However, under the previous state government, with those homes, we would have reached their housing target that they set for us by 2030. Mm. With the new government, they're currently reevaluating all of the flood levels and the floodplain and what our permissibility will be to build. So we actually don't know whether we will get any more growth or where it will be. It really does depend on that. And I had a briefing with the Reconstruction Authority, who's tasked with looking at all of this, only a couple of weeks ago. And the plan for Hawkesbury isn't due to come out till June next year. So we're kind of sitting in limbo as a community, not knowing what we can and can't do to grow. And from a council perspective, with the cost of things rising and to deliver things, it's costing more. If we don't grow our rate base, which is our income, we will then have to deliver less services. So it is actually many levels that your question relates to on whether we do grow as a community and what services council can deliver.
So as you are the face and the voice for the council, I imagine you're interacting with the local citizen here in the Hawkesbury, but you also seem to reference a role in interfacing with government. Can you talk a bit about that and what's the role of local government in relation to state government?
Absolutely. So we are advocates. So while our funding pool is quite small and restricted, the only way council can deliver those things to the community is through state and federal government grants. So we're an advocate to both levels of government, and we need their grants to be able to deliver things like we've just got last year, or was just prior to the year before, but nearly $100 million in what was called the West Invest program. Now that was pure state government money. But when you're looking at things like the third crossing of the Hawkesbury River, which was something that I advocated for when I was the federal candidate, 80% of that funding's coming from federal, 20% from state. So those other levels of government are vital to be able to deliver the needs of the community. So we have to fight them. So yes, we have to take up that advocacy and write letters and knock on doors and go out in the media and scream and shout and say, hey, the Hawkesbury needs, you know, some attention too.
Yeah, because there's only so much money and it's got to go somewhere.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. And that's my job, is say, well, my priority is the Hawkesbury, so that's who I'm going to scream and shout for.
You were on council for some time before you were mayor. Mm-hmm. It must, in that sort of role, it must just be heartbreaking when we get like the massive floods, when we had a couple, you know, within a year or whatever of each other. That must be just devastating in your position.
It is hard because, again, the community comes to you for help with all their small issues during those times. And some of them are heartbreaking, you know. Hey, Sarah, you're getting a phone call come through. I need your help. I'm isolated. I'm cut off. I don't have groceries to get to tomorrow. They know that me, and I guess the other elected councillors, not just me, we have those contacts. We can call the SES straight away and say, hey, put this on your books as a family that needs you to go out there and deliver food. And then we're coordinating with the food charities to get them those supplies. So it is hard during the acute crisis, but our roles also come into play more during the cleanup. So working, I'm in the RFS as well. So working with the RFS and the SES, getting all that cleaned up. And then of course, from council's perspective, over the last few years, dealing with over $240 million worth of damaged roads. So even though the state and feds fund a lot of that, we are the coordinators of that. And that takes away from our staff's normal business as usual day-to-day thing. And I say this a lot in the media, even the other councils around us in Western Sydney, they by and large, after all the flooding and of course the fires before that, they can still just get on with business as usual with their staff. My staff or our staff are dealing with hundreds of millions of dollars worth of damaged infrastructure on top of their day-to-day roles. So that takes a toll on them. They're human beings too. And so it's been a really difficult process, not just for the community, but for council to clean up the damage.
One of the things we like to do is ask people about their background and their journey. Can you tell us a bit about your journey to the position where you're at now?
Yes. First and foremost, I'm a Queenslander. Go the Maroons. So I was born in Ipswich. My dad was in the RAF. So as a child, moved to a few different places where he was posted with RAF bases, but arrived here when I was 10. So he was posted to Richmond RAF base when I was 10, and I've been here ever since. So that's 31 years. And love this community. Went to St. Matthew's Primary School in Windsor. Went to Bede Polding High School. My kids have followed in my footsteps, which has been lovely. So they started off at Freeman's Reach Public, but then went to St. Matty's, then Bede. They're all in high school this year, the three of them. So that's been a great relief off my shoulders in terms of getting, you know, I don't have to do 3 o'clock pickups anymore. So, yeah, and then I went to uni after that, got a double degree, Bachelor of Law, Bachelor of Communication, sort of fell in love with politics during my law degree, did some work experience for Jackie Kelly, you might recall her, she was the federal member for Lindsay, and sort of got my foot in the door then. And I actually ran for Hawkesbury Council first and foremost when I was 21 years old, back in 2004, and I came 13th and they elect 12. So I just, and it was by 200 votes, I missed out. And then I was also a federal candidate back then for the seat of Reed, just to have a go. It was a safe Labor seat, just to have a go. And then met my husband at the time and had 3 kids. So I had quite a few years, you know, just being a mum and doing that before I knew I wanted to get back into it and run for council in 2016.
Wow. How does that process work of becoming a mayor? You talk about the council, you talk about a mayor. Mm-hmm. Is it a role that you share? Is it a role that rotates? And maybe what's something that people might not understand about this responsibility?
Yeah, so to elect the mayor, it's actually different in different council areas. So for example, in the Hills, they have a popularly elected mayor. So the community picks the mayor. Mm. Whereas in Hawkesbury, you pick your 12 councillors and the 12 then choose the mayor. So it's a bit of a different system. So it always means that the mayor needs to have 7 out of 12 friends on council at least to become the mayor. So that's how it works here. We had, since I've been on, 1, 2, 3, I'm the 4th mayor since I've been on in 2016. We had Mary, then Barry, then Patrick, than myself. So it just does depend. And usually the mayoral elections here are every 2 years internally within the 12 of us. So depends what happens. But you may recall Pat, the previous mayor, who I'm very, very good friends with, stepped down from his role because he had that home invasion. Mm. So he stepped down and I took up that role from there and then got elected again last year.
Is there something that most people wouldn't understand about what this role entails? I mean, as an American, my view of the mayor is either cartoons where it's a guy or a girl with a big, you know, star on their belt buckle or, you know, or
Rudy,
like
Rudy Giuliani in New York. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. All sorts of caricatures for me. What's something that the average person might not expect is entailed with your role?
I think in Australia, like you've said, that mayor role in America is this really big, prestigious person. It's really not in Australia. And I think, you know, we have tall poppy syndrome. People like to cut you down and go, no, 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 you're just Sarah. And that is absolutely true. People say that to me all the time. What do I call you? You call me Sarah. You know, you don't call me mayor. You might also know that a lot of mayors, and we have them here, have a set of chains. And in the Hawkesbury, we barely wear those chains because, you know, people are just like, really? So I only really use them for citizenship ceremonies or if I've got some kids visiting, you know, and they can pass them around and have a look. So I think that, yeah, that conception about the mayor doesn't exist here, you know, and especially when they see me and Coles with a kid having a tantrum next to me while I'm doing my groceries, you know, it's just a bit like, well, that's just taken the glamour out of it, hasn't it? She's just a normal person. So, yes.
Is it a paid position here? I come from Bathurst originally, and the mayoral position there, I think they received a stipend.
Correct.
But they were still, you know, expected just to work full time as well as do all the mayoral duties.
Yeah, and when I say this, I'm not whinging. It is a poorly paid profession, and you're right. It's not a wage or an income. It's called a fee for service, so a stipend essentially, yes. And so a regular councillor only gets $24,000 a year here in the Hawkesbury. So if you have a family to look after, you have to have another job. And the mayor pays a bit more, and I'm an open book, I'll just say it, the mayor in the Hawkesbury is about $80,000, but in this cost of living day and age, it's, you know, still not enough. And we've got an election coming up in September where I may not be the mayor again depending on the outcome, so I've just had to go get another part-time job 3 days a week as a lawyer just in case I don't you know, don't get the mayoralty in September, then I'll have to go back to full-time work. So they're the things you have to think about. And it's quite funny when you read comments online or anything where they go, oh, you know, the mayor and the councillors, they've got their snouts in the trough. You go, really? Really? A councillor gets $24,000 a year for a lot of community work, you know? And I've been a full-time mayor up until now, since I was elected in 2022. I've done this full-time. And it's not a 40-hour, you know, a week job. It's in the office 5 days a week, probably 3 to 4 nights out a week, and probably 3, 4, 5 community events on the weekend. So when you add that up, you're sometimes doing 80 hours a week, and you're not doing it to add that up. But if you want to ask the question, that's the reality of it. And I guess for me, with 3 kids, you need to balance that with still being a mum and still being present for them. Because if I said yes to absolutely everything, which I've been very guilty of in the past, you run yourself to the ground.
Yeah. So if that's the case, it really has to be about passion, doesn't it? So what are you passionate about in the role?
Very passionate about infrastructure delivery. And that's why when I touched on being the federal candidate, I knew we needed a third bridge over the Hawkesbury. So I wrote a document about why we needed that bridge, drove to Canberra, knocked on all the ministers' doors at the time saying, I need this bridge. You know, I'm going to be your candidate. You need to deliver this funding, and really made the case. And I'll never forget the day I got the phone call from Alan Tudge, was the minister at the time, and I was doing the campaigning, and he said, your proposal was good. You're getting $250 million to build this bridge. And it was just like one of those wow moments where you literally fall to the floor. And there was an advocate locally called John Miller. I don't know if you know him. He passed away a year or so ago. We actually just did a tribute for him up at Street and Lookout at Freeman's Reach the other day. He was the biggest person in my life who pushed me to build, because he lived on the floodplain all his life. He was a mushroom farmer. He'd been flooded out. So he really wanted, you know, a bridge. And so the first thing I did was go and knock on his door with my camera rolling and said, hey, John, you know, we've got the funding, which has ended up doubling now once they designed it to a $500 million bridge. So I now know I want written on my headstone. You know, she got $500 million for the Hawkesbury. Thank you. My legacy is done. So yeah, very proud of that. So infrastructure delivery is a big one, but community is also important. I'm a Rotarian. I'm in Rotary. I was on the hospital community board for a very long time. I'm in the RFS. I was in Torchbearers for Legacy in the Kurrajong CWA. So I think you got to walk the walk if you're going to be in this role. And that means being humble and doing those other things for the community groups and showing that it's about making a difference, even if it's in a small way.
You mentioned that you're coming up for election again, and I imagine that also might involve having some resilience. Can you tell us, how do you go, having invested so much time and so much of yourself, so much of your family into this, to put yourself out there again? What is that like? Can you tell us what it's like to put yourself publicly up for a role? Obviously, you did it at 21. Does it feel different then than it did now? Like, how would you explain to somebody what that feels like to put yourself out there?
Yeah, you need to have a thick skin. And I can't sugarcoat that my journey, and I'm very much open in the media about it, has been a difficult one. I never thought, growing up in the Hawkesbury, knowing so many people, living here, I would have that small posse of people who just hate you. It's very difficult to ever comprehend. I've had to have an AVO put on a stalker, which when it went to trial, we ended up having to extend the AVO because a witness didn't turn up. Again, it was just a whole big drama. But I've had to move house before to keep my kids safe. I have had a couple of groups start online in the Hawkesbury who hate me for no other reason than I'm a Liberal. They're very entrenched in their political thought, and they will do anything they can to destroy me. And what's disappointing is, out of all the elected people in the Hawkesbury, so 12 councillors, a state member and a federal member, we all know family's out of bounds, but for some reason, my family's not out of bounds. And it has had a significant effect on my partner and his health, physically and mentally. He has people outside his business protesting. It has been a very difficult thing. So therefore, for me, it's not just testing on me, it's very testing on our family, and to the point where there could have been many times my relationship would have broken down and failed because of the pressure from the abuse of the community. the one percenters, I call them. Yeah, so that's challenging. And it's challenging too when my kids come home and say, oh, this person at school said your mum's the mayor and she's silly and, you know, all this sort of stuff. And so my kids have had to grow up with that. But I also try to say to them, I hope you're getting an example from me that you need to participate in your community regardless of what these one percenters say, and you just have to keep believing in yourself and push on.
Thanks for being honest with us about that and the personal cost involved. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
I have a question about, sorry, I'm looking at him because
he, I know, I kind of just brought the mood down, but
no,
anyway.
No, you didn't. No. Before you arrived, this larrikin over here, he said, I asked too many questions. just put up the red
We've
flag.
We've had many guests die while the questions keep coming.
Now, obviously, we're a church. This podcast is sponsored by a church, Windsor District Baptist Church. Sponsored us in,
What are we getting for that?
Nothing. We record in its facilities.
Just the privilege.
Yes, the privilege. So I'll put it this way. I serve as pastor of a church, and as someone who did a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science myself, who spent some time working at a law firm, can you talk a bit about the role of church within civic community, either from a personal perspective or from the perspective of an elected official? What do you see as the role that churches can play in our local community?
I'll talk from a personal perspective and make that clear, because I can't speak from that from a mayoral perspective. Personally for me, I'm a Christian. I grew up a very strong Catholic, a very strict Catholic, I should say, with my parents. My kids go to Catholic schools. That's a choice of mine that I chose. It doesn't mean the public system's bad. It's just a choice I made that I wanted faith in their lives and an understanding of it. For me, though, the decline in the church in society is very sad. And if you look back, other than probably the last, 50 years, for the whole of human history, church or religion was the cornerstone of society. You know, everyone went to church on Sunday, you had your church events, it ensured you had those values and those ethics that society needed. And to me, the loss of that, yeah, it is very sad. I think the last census was the first time we were under 50% Christianity. And while that's great to have diversity and difference of views, I just personally, I think it's because you can only make judgments on the way you grow up, right, and what you're exposed to. So for me, I see that as a sad decline, that out of all of human history, it's only the last 50 or so years that dominance or importance of the church is failing in society.
Does that mean demographics out here in the Hawkesbury have changed the same as they have perhaps, you know, in sort of the inner city areas?
I still think we are a conservative area, the Hawkesbury. That's very different to religious. So, I mean, the state seat of Hawkesbury is a Liberal seat, and that's a conservative. You know, we're conservative, so it's that's the way people think out here. If I'm going to be a little bit blunt here, you know, not that wokeness that's in society, you know. Again, speaking very much from me and making sure it's not the mayor, you know, I'm very much it's a boy or a girl, it's a mum or a dad, like, you know, that sort of thing. But I still think the Hawkesbury is very much that way. I think that sort of wokeness from the inner city hasn't really transpired out here yet, and I sort of don't want it to. Yeah, if I can be honest, I like our community sort of the way it is. It's actually funny, at the International Women's Day event I hosted this morning, we actually had this conversation, and I won't identify the person, but it was someone quite prominent in the Hawkesbury. Yeah, who actually said, if someone ever tells me I'm not a mum or a dad and I have to be referred to as a parent, you know, that would be sad. So I guess I'd probably run off on a huge tangent there, gentlemen, but they're my thoughts. We're a conservative area in the Hawkesbury, but that's very different to other areas around us. You know, the Blue Mountains are opposite to that in terms of their thinking and their ideology. So I guess that's why I'm comfortable here in the Hawkesbury. Pretty much people are the same way of thinking.
Appreciate your candor.
Oh, I'm an open book. I've been to the bottom and the top in politics. So I'm just like, you know what? Just say it as it is. And if people don't like it, that's fine.
So are you going to dip your toe once again in federal politics?
Oh, that's a hard question. To me, politics, and people hate the word politics and politician, so I try and say I'm a community advocate. I know it sounds a bit silly, but it's a better thing than I'm a politician. But to me, whether you do local, state or federal, it doesn't matter because you're still being a community advocate. It's just different responsibilities. But I've always had a passion for the federal responsibilities. I think that's growing up in a defence family. Like we lived on RAF Base Richmond. I've always had this keen interest in defence and how our country, you know, we're not equipped right now. Our current defence forces right now are not equipped to take on, you know, any international forces. And that's that whole international space to me is fascinating. So look, I'd love to one day. If it doesn't happen, that's okay, as long as I'm doing something for the community.
Well, Hawkesbury Mayor Sarah McMahon, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
A very fitting guest on International Women's Day. We appreciate all that you bring to our community, and thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, that was a somewhat different chat, I think, to most of our guests. That was good.
Yeah, it was excellent. And for me, very fitting. This has been government week for me. So I spent the first 3 days of the week in Canberra, and I come back Friday, I get to interview the mayor. This has been an educational experience.
You are going places.
I don't know how to respond to that. But it's been fascinating to learn about Australian government and how it works. And why does Canberra get such a bad rap?
Because it's just the most boring place on earth. That's why.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is Canberra's it so boring?
Dreadful.
They got all sorts of museums and their exhibitions. You got Questacon.
You see it once.
I feel like Sydney, we just got cars and apartment buildings. And what do we got in Sydney?
But at least there's like stuff to do day to day in Sydney. Have you ever tried finding a petrol station in Canberra? None.
Really?
Okay. Zero. You can't even drive your car in Canberra because there's no petrol. Worst place ever.
That's why they put all the politicians there, right?
I guess so. Well, I'm glad you had fun in Canberra anyway.
It was great and so lovely to chat with Sarah McMahon. Lovely conversation. Hope you enjoyed it.
We'll be back next week.